Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 192 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of March 9th, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is Surfing Gorilla Detachable Joy-Con. I didn't edit this script correctly. Dan.
I've been looking at it for 10 minutes going, I really hope he reads it, Ron Burgundy. Come on, man. Please say Surfing Gorilla Detachable Joy-Con. Because that makes no kind of sense.
Well, it makes about as much sense as the rest of the stuff I say.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dan. The Nintendo Switch is 1 year old, so Dan and I are going to... That's right, we're keeping that shit. That's the intro. I'm not doing this again. The Nintendo Switch is 1 year
live.
Old, so Dan and I are going to rate its performance thus far, and we're going to be joined partially by Evan. He's actually going to chip in on this episode because he has funny things to say, or at least he thinks they're funny things. We'll be the judge of that. That's but before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us.
What is meme-mail? It's just like email, but it's from your grandma.
No, it's just, you just send us memes. That's all it is.
Oh, God, I love that. It's great. Like this beer group I'm a part of on Facebook. It's just nothing but memes.
Nothing weird. But memes. Anyway, you can email us or meme-mail us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, how much you love Dan, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Oh, here we are.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is fun. So,
I'm doing good, Chris. Thanks for asking.
I was literally about to say, Dan, how are you?
I know you were. That's why I just jumped in there.
How are you, Dan?
I'm good, Chris. I spent a ridiculous amount of stones in Puzzle and Dragons on the Full Metal Alchemist collab that's going on right now. And the top prize in the machine is Mr. Full Metal Alchemist himself, Edward Elric. And the rolling rates...
Is this the live action one?
No, thankfully not. I would not have spent any stones on it. But... You know, we were talking before about like all the stuff that EA was getting up to and the changes that would bring to games like this. And one of the things that happened is that Puzzle and Dragons now publishes their rolling rates. So like you click on this little button and it's like, hey, in this machine, you have a 15% chance of getting this card and a 20% chance of getting this card. And oh, the top cards that you actually want, 2.5%. It's like, ah, fuck, that's a... Not a good percent. Like, that's really low.
That's the opposite of good percentage.
That's a really, really shitty percentage. I have a 2.5% chance to get what I want and a 97.5% chance to be pissed. So, 10 rolls into it, that 97.5% chance was strong. But I fucking rage rolled the last of my stones and got Edward, and I was very excited because he's like one of the top cards in the game. So, 55 stones later, I got him. Yay!
Good work.
Thank you. I didn't spend any money on it, though. It was all like, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know if you've played any games long enough, Chris. I know Evan hasn't because he has commitment issues. You hear that? It's a fair warning. You know who I'm talking to.
It's like amazing how you just forgot her name.
I didn't want to make it a thing, Evan. You made it a thing.
She doesn't listen to this thing. What, like I share my personal life with people I love? Come on now.
But you don't love us, Evan?
Moving on.
Evan. Anyway, I don't know if you guys have played anything like long enough to where... You hit a certain point where it's like, well, I don't really need anything else. You know what I mean?
You hit a
like,
point where you don't want to upgrade your phone for the chances of losing all of your stats.
Yeah, you know. So that's kind of what it's like. So I had a bunch of shit, and I was just like, ah, fuck it, let's do this. So short story long, I got a really good card. I'm pretty happy about it.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's really good.
Well, I mean, I've obviously been playing a bunch of games, but we're gonna do that next week. So instead, yeah. I'm gonna dedicate this moment to a few different things. First, I got the opportunity to take pictures of a bunch of weird stuff last night.
I like where this is going.
Lucas Thomas is the editor in chief of Nintendo Force Magazine, who I'm, which I also write for periodically. I haven't had an article in there in a while, and then a few weeks ago, he contacted me and said, "All right, I got a great idea for an article, and it's going to be big." So,
so it's not dick pics. That's what we're saying. Okay.
Damn it! I just had my phone out.
So I don't want to go into all the details because, I mean, I don't think I'm supposed to, but it does involve several. I usually write about accessories, so this one's going to be a collection of accessories, and I had to root through my collection to dig up some stuff that I thought I was never going to look at again. Like, I just recently went through my collection, setting aside a bunch of stuff that I want to sell, and I had it all nice and neat and organized. And then I got the assignment, and I go into the garage, and I'm like, crap. It is in the bottommost box that's just, like, deep in the bowels of my collection. Like, just stuff I never would have thought that I would need for any purpose ever again. But that was fun. And my sister over, she brought over a super nice camera to take pictures of, like, my Rob with the Amiibo Rob, which was super cool. Because I wanted to take some fun pictures of that. And I don't know, weird stuff like, obviously like DK bongos. That's not that weird.
I mean, it's weird, but it's not like rare.
Yeah, it's not rare.
Weird that it's a thing.
It is, yes. There's a lot of the accessories that I'm going to be writing about that I don't actually have. And Luke's wanted me to try to find pictures of them.
Breaking the fourth wall, Chris. Don't let the readers in.
Well, I mean, I've used them before, but I mean, like, it's hard to find good pictures of, like, the DS headset because nobody had the DS headset.
Like an official licensed?
Yeah, like the three. There were a couple of games on the DS that it integrated voice chat, and they had a headset for that, which is insane because it's the original DS. So it was kind of hard to find pictures of that stuff, but that was fun. But the big thing that happened today, the most important thing, is that the Chicken Wiggle Kickstarter went live today.
Oh, shit.
That's right. It's Jules Watson and Tui Games. They were talking on Twitter a while back, like, look, if we did a Kickstarter for Chicken Wiggle on Switch, would you buy it then? And then, like, a bunch of people were like, well, hell yeah, we would. So they did it. He's proposed an HD remaster of Chicken Wiggle with these really just adorable looking sprites. I'll put a link to the Kickstarter page in the show notes. Like, go check it out. It's just a super good game. It's, like, really, really, really fun. And I'm dying for this thing to become reality because I stopped playing it on 3DS because it was on 3DS. And I'd rather be playing my Switch and all the games that I have on Switch, including all the other Atui games. Mutant Muds went on sale, and so I bought it, even though I have no intention to play it anytime soon. It was like, I can't turn this triple package of Mutant Muds games down for like $7. Like, you can't say no to that. It's great. So anyway,
I said no.
You said no.
Somebody could say no. Not you. Evan and I both said no.
No.
No,
I just Evan started. I just started paying attention again because I heard my name.
Evan heard Mutant Muds, took out little Evan. Whoa! Chris Randazzo joining me tonight.
What is this? Paper Cuts?
It's nice. The Paper Cuts podcast. Thanks, announcer guy.
Off the rails!
Guy. Holy shit!
Inside Baseball. So
the second best comic book podcast we've ever had.
After what? Bags and Boards?
Yes.
The one episode of Bags and Boards?
There
were two.
There's a current one, you jackass.
That's what I was talking about, dude. I was trying to set you up for a softball to be like, the various other comic book, like Mutant Musings or like, fuck, dude. Tried to set it up for you. Come on, Chris.
Listen to Mutant Musings at the Nonstop Comic Shop right here on geekade.com.
There you go. Thank you very much. That wasn't that fucking hard.
Anyway.
Bags and boards.
Best so, idea we've ever had.
We gotta name everything something B and B. It's the best idea ever.
It's the best, most badass idea ever.
It's bold and beautiful, Dan.
Oh, it is bold and beautiful. It is big and bodacious.
Let's begin this ballet.
It is certainly brash and badass.
Backdrops and body slams.
It is certainly a substantial, a bountiful amount of buffoonery that you will find.
Wow.
Here on the Stone Age Gamer podcast. Let's see how long we can do this. Let's see how long we can keep this going and how much actually makes it into the actual episode.
Oh, it'll all be there, brother.
Why is Dean editing this one?
Oh, my cheeks hurt.
It's such a bad idea to have more than me and Chris on this show.
Okay.
So,
get fucking
our plan
serious,
today.
Chris, come on.
Last week, was it last week? What day is today? A couple of days ago. The Switch is a year old. Nintendo Switch is a year old, and it's
was set.
Our plan.
Our plan today, yesterday, a couple of weeks ago. What day is it? I'm already crying. Jesus Christ.
So the idea is to grade the Switch's first year. We're gonna do that in a bit, but we thought that it would be fun, and I'm hoping that it is, that we're gonna grade our own performance a little bit. So I went back through episodes 135.1 and 135.2, the Switchening, and listened to our reactions to the big Switch reveal event, and just how incredibly wrong we were about it. Except, well, the one thing Dan was right about was his critique of fashion. But so what we're going
to
do now...
But hold on, Chris. I think the more important thing to say here is that you and I had podcasts that were like hours long based on a 10-minute reveal trailer. And we're assholes because of that.
You know what? I listened to both of them again, and I think they were pretty entertaining.
I'm sure they were great. This is literally the best video game podcast anyone could possibly listen to.
As evidenced by the last few minutes.
Look, Chris, we're just a bunch of guys who enjoy each other's company.
Just happen to have microphones and internet connections. It just goes downhill from there.
That's right. So so Evan's going to help us out here. We're going to listen to a handful of clips from those episodes and then talk about how wrong we were or how right we were, but mostly how wrong we were, mostly how wrong I was. Dan was less wrong than me.
I was all right.
I was more violently wrong than Dan was. Mm-hmm. Like, I was definitely more angry about it.
Oh, that's the... That's a clip like six-ish, yeah, we'll get there.
So here's we're going to start off with our first clip. This is where Dan begins critiquing the fashion choices of the people involved.
I'm so excited. I have never in my life been a part of a clip show. I am so excited.
Okay. Clip
Don't
one,
ruin this for me, Evan.
Dan Ryan, Fashion Police.
Kimishima comes out. Mm-hmm. It's the first time he's been on stage being I am president of Nintendo. And it was all right. Not a bad way to start things
off.
No, he comes out.
He looked good in his clothes fit, which is not something I can say about the rest of them.
That is very true. There was some interesting fashion on that stage.
Oh, boy. The controller guy that we'll get to in a minute. Had a fupa and mom jeans on.
Yeah.
This is not a good look.
Wow.
Just not a good look.
No,
oh,
it really
God,
wasn't.
You look like my aunt.
So,
I am hysterical.
fupa.
Dan, what is a fupa?
It's when all the front gets all like pushed together, and you look at it and you go, "What's all that doing there?"
What does fupa stand for?
It's not supposed to be there. That's not okay. I don't know what it stands. It stands for something. I don't remember. I've had a little too much to drink already.
To be fair, you were very right about the absurd fashion on that whole thing. Look, Kimishima did come out looking pretty nice. He was doing all right.
It was terrible. It was, and I, like, dude, I terrible. Still wear cargo shorts. Like, I'm not fucking trying to be like, oh, I'm a fashion plate. Ugh. Like,
I still have far too many pockets on my pants.
I really do. I don't need all of them, but like, I have. I found a picture of myself that like somebody posted online, and I was like, "Oh shit, that's me in high school." Fuck, I am wearing that same shirt. I have had that shirt for far too many years, but I don't care. But still, I mean, come on,
you gotta
try a little harder. You gotta try a little harder. Like, you're making a big presentation. Like, dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have.
Solid and the job advice. That they had was Wii U, and the job that they wanted was this event. Man, listen to this thing again. Like, just got my blood boiling again for all the similar reasons. And I don't know. Well, let's move on. So,
spoilers. We may have been Chris may have been wrong about everything he said, but the event was still not good. Changes nothing about the actual event.
I concur. If I saw this event again, I'd still be mad. So this next bit is our reaction to the price. So we had lots of predictions and stuff before the NX was revealed, as everyone on the internet did, which was a lot of fun. That was a super duper fun time. And Dan and I were both pretty convinced that we knew what the price should be. And well, then this happened. He drops the bomb that it's $300, and I'm like, okay. I get it. Kimishima he has said off the bat, they will not sell this system for a loss.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
And I replied with, then you will not sell this system.
Yes. No. As a matter of fact.
Totally right.
Turns out to be a big fat no.
100%.
I titled that one, Putting Being Wrong Right Out on Front Street. Because what most people just listening to this don't know is that took place 8.5 minutes into the first episode of The Switchening.
Yeah, which was what, a total of like 3.5, almost 4 hours?
Give or take, yeah.
Like, it was, there was a lot of podcast because I had a lot to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And
8.5 minutes in, you made a definitive wrong statement.
Yeah, and like, but that's the thing. It still defies logic. Like,
there is no reason.
I know that that's going to sell.
Yeah, the Wii U was Nintendo, Evan.
And
that did not sell. That was a new Nintendo system with a new 2D Mario game, the sequel to a 2D Mario game that sold billions of copies, not literally, but like one of the best-selling games of all time.
And not literally, but literally.
Yeah, nobody cared. Nobody cared. And that's the thing.
That's the crazy thing about this, is that like we were expecting, I think, because I didn't listen to this episode, I wanted to like experience this organically with you and unpack my feelings as we all went on this journey of spiritual discovery together. Evan, I'm trying to be a modern podcaster and connect to a younger audience.
Are you trying
and
to
they
be woke?
Unpack all of their bullshit. I am so woke. Hashtag woke, Evan. What are you? Hashtag sheep. Hashtag sheeple. Hashtag bah. Fucking.
All right.
There is no reason that this thing should have sold as well as it did. Coming off of the shit show that was the Wii U. No one expected, like, it's not just me and Chris being fucking dumb shits. Nobody expected this thing to sell.
Logically speaking,
like it sold.
And like, that's the thing. I could never have anticipated that the system itself was going to resonate with people the way that it did.
No.
And it resonated with me to an extent. And, you know, we'll get to more of that as we go along. If you don't remember my reactions to it, the physical system is, 'cause you know, that they had that revealed trailer, which I was over the moon for. And then this was like the whole event where they're like, and these are the games you're going to play on it. And I'm like, farts. So
oh that is not what you said.
No, it's not. I'm not gonna reenact it. There's a fucking clip coming up.
okay good.
But the price, $300, turns out that they can get $300 for this thing, even sitting next to a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One, which is,
yeah, but I can't pick up my PlayStation 4, slap two, you know, DualShocks onto the side of it and carry it with me somewhere.
You're absolutely right. I didn't think that the general populace was going to eat that up. Yeah. Like, I figured that was going to work in Japan. I didn't necessarily think that this was going to be as big a deal as it was. I also didn't know that Zelda was going to be the, like, cultural phenomenon that it became. Like, that game was far bigger than I anticipated it being, just from general, like, mind share in the world. Like, it's 'cause Zelda hasn't been that big since Ocarina of Time. It's the biggest one since Ocarina.
Well, even still, like, crazy. I guess it must have been this weekend. I stopped into a GameStop, and the sheer amount of tchotchkes featuring Zelda and Link and the Triforce and all, like, it's astronomical how many things there are now that just weren't there before.
No, you're absolutely right. But that's a very similar to, and I get, it's like that now, and it's been like that even since before Breath of the Wild. Zelda is kind of like Superman in that, like, everyone wants the T-shirt with Superman on it, but, like, nobody went out to go see that Brandon Routh movie, Superman Returns. Like, and it wasn't because the reviews were bad. It's just people like to like Superman.
No, I'm sad.
I was so sad. Up until that kid threw the piano, that movie was great.
I completely agree. It was so good. And then it was like, ooh, left turn. Wow.
Kevin Spacey, I know we're not allowed to talk about him, but he was awesome as Lex Luthor.
He really was.
Parker Posey was awesome.
I hate Parker Posey.
I do too, but she was great in that.
Anywho, she was.
Brandon Routh, I hope this doesn't put you off flying. I fucking rolled a tear.
And that, then that when he catches that plane is still one of the best things ever. And then even after the kid threw the piano, when he's flying around, like, doing all that Superman stuff where he's, like, you know, stopping the glass from falling on people, like, that shit was awesome.
I had my eyes shut. I don't know what happened after that part. Kid threw the piano. I shut my eyes and went blah, 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 blah for the next 40 minutes.
Anyway, so moving on to the next bit here. This was a dark moment for me after seeing that business. Talking about this very dark moment for me where I... Evan, what do you call this clip?
The Nintendo Force is strong with this one.
That is true. Let's listen to the clip. No, because I pre-ordered one.
Right. But I mean, you also said, I just want to be, you know, let's peel the veil back here a little bit. Mm-hmm. You said, after watching this, you thought about just taking your money and putting it towards a PS4. Now, ultimately, you didn't, because you're a Nintendo fanboy and you're crazy. But I think somebody not as strong in the Nintendo force as you are, I don't know that they're going with the Switch.
Turns out that they are. I did almost cancel my pre-order on it. Like, after this event, I really did. I remember that feeling. I remember being so completely sad about this. And I remember thinking about, like, all right, well, I'm going to get Mario, whatever the Mario Odyssey when that comes out. I'm going to get that. But, I can play Zelda on my Wii U if I really need to. And, like, it was fleeting because eventually, like I said in the show, I thought about, well, these are the games that are coming out that I want to play. And I listed all the games that are coming out that I want to play on every platform, and I could play the most of them on the Switch. And so that's why I stuck with my pre-order. And I'm super glad I did, because, you know.
It's screwed now.
I adore that system more than I could have possibly imagined I would. And it's funny to me right now in particular thinking about this, because I hadn't thought about this until right this moment. But when things surprise me, when I like things more than I think I'm going to, they tend to be my favorite things ever. Like Wind Waker, I was so adamantly opposed to that game. I got Letter of the Month and Electronic Gaming Monthly complaining about Wind Waker and Metroid Prime, just how I actually wrote in my freaking letter that was published, I can't, like, they ruined Zelda. Like, I actually wrote that, and the Wind Waker is my favorite game of all time, and Metroid Prime is one of my favorite games of all time. And here we are with the Switch, which I was, you know, just not stoked on at this point, and it's seriously in line. If it continues on the trajectory it's on, it might wind up being my favorite game console of all time, because I'm having that much fun with it.
So as I'm hearing, your gut instincts are wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, well, nobody talked to Karen.
I was with her for a long time before I proposed to her.
I don't know that that makes that any better, Chris. Not sure.
All right. This next one's hard for me to listen to.
I call this one, "Come on, Chris, don't sugarcoat it."
I am flabbergasted by this. This is the most insane decision that they could have possibly made. First off, this game exemplifies every single thing that every modern gamer, this is why people left Nintendo. This is why you left Nintendo. Shit like this.
Yes,
this is why. This is why everyone was turned off by the Wii. It's why those people didn't buy the Wii U. And by parading this thing out, first and foremost, this is your prime target right here. This is your make or break moment. And you go back to the shit you were pulling on the Wii.
Yep.
I get it.
But worse.
You finally made this work. Neat. I don't even know if it's worse. They barely showed the game.
Well,
showed what it is.
Here's what made it worse to me. You're a fucking angry guy, Chris.
I was mad about this. I was so mad about this. So we're talking about 1-2 Switch, which I am so glad that I was wrong. Because I very easily could have been right about this.
I don't even know what this is. What is 1-2 Switch?
And that's brilliant that you don't even know what this is, because you shouldn't know what this is. 1-2 Switch was this just pathetic, whimpering attempt to recapture the Wii Sports. It's a mini game collection where you don't look at the screen to play the mini games. So, like, we're here looking at this like, all right, here's the Switch. They're finally going to get this thing right. And then they parade out not a new game that you play with your controllers, these super cool controllers, or anything that uses your buttons in any sort of traditional sense. It is a motion-controlled mini game collection. And that was the first game that they showed off for Switch, and I wanted to vomit out of my eyes. It was so... And, like, the game turned out to be crap. Like, there was some fun to be had in it, but I also said I didn't really care. I thought that I would like the game. I don't like the game. You know what? Because it's freaking broken. Because you're meant to play this at parties, but you're not plugging it into the TV when you do it. You're supposed to put it in handheld mode and not look at the television. Well, if you bring it to a party, you can't hear the Switch. So if you're not looking at the screen, you can't hear any of the prompts because the speaker's not very loud on the Switch. So if you're at a party where there's more than like three people talking, or if you're in a room where there's also a toddler, you can't play this game. It's because you just can't hear it, and you need to be able to hear it. And it is so
we're saying
stupid.
That we were 100% right on this one.
This one we were right on. Half. We were right that this was the wrong thing to do. That it was a completely bad thing to put in front of people. We were wrong at the effect that it was going to have on the system.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, let's see. This this went on for a few minutes.
This is my favorite. When you sent this to me to get to pull the clips, this little, I don't know, two lines, like, brought joy to my heart.
Dan talked a little bit more about fashion. We talked about how just terrible this trailer was.
I don't care about
words.
Fashion that much. I don't know why I talked about it so much.
This, the thing in this trailer, the, like, there was 2 minutes of these clowns staring at each other. So it's like, if you haven't seen this trailer, I suggest you go back and look at just how unbelievably stupid it is. There's a solid minute, like 60 straight seconds of nothing that even alludes to gameplay. It's just these two people playing like cops and robbers in cowboy outfits, pointing fake guns at each other. Like a solid minute.
It was weird.
It was so incredibly weird. And it happened like right when people are like, it was right after the announcement of Red Dead Redemption. And it was like, oh, cowboy star. Oh, what is this? What did you do? What have you done? So now I'm going to make some really angry claims about this game. Really, really angry claims. And
okay. So my title for this one is Chris Reaches His Fuck Quota.
That killed all of their hype. Every single person they set themselves up as a fucking punchline for every single person, every single shareholder that is looking for an opportunity for this to go sideways. Every single core gamer that has been just kind of looking out of the side of their eye thinking, is Nintendo going to be for me? Nope, never again. Nope. Not buying the system either. This solidified, and I am not exaggerating, I would put fucking money down on it if I had it. This has solidified. This showing this game at this point has solidified that the Switch will not even reach Wii U's numbers.
Nope.
This system is going to be a goddamn failure. There, unless they turn things around in an unfathomable degree, they just screwed the pooch completely. Because not a single person, not one human being living on this planet that didn't buy a Wii U is going to buy a Switch.
Nope.
The only people that are going to buy the Switch are people that bought the Wii U and decided they liked the Nintendo games enough to keep getting a Nintendo system. They will win not a fucking soul with this system because of this game. This was a bungle. This was a terrible plan. This was a fuck-up on every conceivable scale. This was an insulting mistake, and I cannot fucking believe that this exists. I cannot wrap my head around it.
So by by my count, that was five.
I don't see anything wrong with what Chris said.
The vitriol, the passion.
None of that was inaccurate.
Well, I did throw in that little caveat that unless they turned things around to an unfathomable degree, which they kind of did.
They did.
They did, but not at launch, which is what's so weird to me. Like, the thing with 1-2 Switch is that it's not that the game didn't turn people off. They just didn't care. And I don't know why this happened. I don't know why the majority of people saw this event and then just didn't turn it off after 1-2 Switch, or noticed that there are two games on this platform. One you can get on Wii U, and the other is 1-2 Switch, and then just decided to ignore the system entirely. I don't understand why that didn't happen. I still don't. I'm glad it didn't.
Honestly, I think, and I don't know exactly how accurate my timeline is here, but people already had a PS4 or an Xbox One by this point. Like, I don't know how many years they had been out by last year. Like, 4 years? 3 years?
Something like that.
Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right.
So, 3 to 4 years into the lifespan of a console, and there's a gimmick with it. It's Nintendo. Zelda looked really good. I mean, it makes sense that people were like, all right, fuck it. Let's give them a shot.
See, that just doesn't jive with the way my brain works. Like,
well, but that's because you don't have fuck you money, Chris.
That's true. I don't have fuck you money.
So, and like, I don't have fuck you money either, but for a lot of people, $300 is fuck you money. Whatever.
And that's just bananas to me, because this should have been like the nail in the coffin. This should have been like, no, screw you. I'm not buying this thing. Cause it almost turned me off from buying the damn system. Like, that's crazy that's, and I'm so glad that 1-2-Switch, it did okay, but it was a launch title. You know, of course it did okay. It was the pretty much like one of the only other games that was readily stocked everywhere. It's like,
yeah.
The 15 people who bought Bomberman only bought it because there were only 15 copies of the game to get. Like, it would have sold more if there were more of them. But there was 1-2-Switch and there was Zelda. And everyone bought Zelda, and a lot of people bought 1-2-Switch. But nobody plays it. Nobody talks about it. It disappeared from the conversation so quickly. And I guess a lot of that has to do with just how damn good Zelda was. And how quickly people realized what it was like to play Zelda on Switch. Because it's... I know there's definitely a lot of people, I still see them commenting on Facebook posts like, oh, I'm going to get Zelda on my Wii U and it's just as good. It's not.
It's not.
Totally different experience. Like, yes, the game runs the same on the Wii U, but you're not playing it at a moment's notice. You know, you have to put in that disc, wait for it to load up, and you know, if you want to stop playing, you either just turn your TV off and leave it running, or you turn your game off and then go through the whole boot up sequence again and load your game. It's not the same. The Switch was between Zelda and the Switch. It was this incredibly freeing experience, and everyone was talking about that. So not only was the game good, but playing that game on that system was so good. And it just completely drowned out the bullshit that was 1-2-Switch. But I still stand by 150 billion% that showing off that game first was like the worst possible idea.
It really was.
I don't disagree
at all.
Of the games that have shown up on the Switch, I cannot think of any game that Nintendo has had anything to do with that showed up on the Switch that would have been a worse way to start that thing. There's just not. There isn't a single one. Absolutely amazing.
I agree entirely.
But I made the claim that the Switch would not, what did I say? It's not even going to reach Wii U numbers. And holy crap, was I wrong there. The Switch has already surpassed, in less than a year, it surpassed the Wii U's global lifetime sales.
I don't think we really understood just how bad the Wii U had sold when you made that comment.
Nah, I knew. I understood.
Way to try to dig him out of that hole there, dude.
I had complete cognizance of how poorly the Wii U had sold. I completely did. I thought it was just going to be that much more niche. I thought it was like, this is it. Now, are you really going to buy a 3DS or nothing? Because why bother with this thing? It's just not going to have anything anyone wants. And I'm so glad I was so wrong. But like, I'm looking at my Wii U right now, and the thing is just like, it's... I remember loving it so much, and I always loved that system. I had a lot of great time with it, but man, if you picked up a gamepad recently...
Oh, it's cumbersome as fuck. It always was.
It always was, yeah. It always was something. I dug it to an extent, but I always, always played with the Pro Controller if I could, because I just didn't... I don't like holding the thing. It always felt bulky, and especially now after having the Switch. And like the just...
Well, and you're a liberal elitist.
That's true, yeah.
So, I mean, there is that.
There is that.
You're a liberal elitist and a size queen.
And a size queen, yeah. And I mean, it feels cheap, you know, like it's very, it just feels cheap.
Oh, the plastic is very cheap on it. Like, it's not a great, it's...
And the capacitive, is it capacitive or resistive? I don't remember. I think it's resistive. The touchscreen that's on the Wii U.
The shitty touchscreen?
The low resolution, like, oh, God. I keep thinking, like, I don't know, like, ports are, like, this big thing on the Switch, and everyone's like, oh, Switch gets too many ports. It's like, well, no, it doesn't, because nobody played these games. That's why they're porting them over. They're great games.
But yeah, I can't wait to have the Metroid Prime trilogy. It's going to be fucking awesome on the Switch. I'm really excited about it.
Do that in HD, for the love of God and all that is holy. But the Kirby game that came out for this, the Canvas Curse or whatever it was, I don't remember the exact name of it. Like, that game is super cool, but it doesn't work with the Wii U, because you, like, it worked great on DS because the screens were both in front of you at all times, but you had to keep like looking down at the gamepad, and the game's got this gorgeous detailed claymation that you can't see on the Wii U screen because it's too low resolution. It's like you can't see any of this awesome detail unless you're looking at the TV screen, but then you can't play the game because you need to be looking at the gamepad.
You're asking for a lot, Chris.
Yeah, it's
you're really asking for a lot to be able to see the game and both play the game. Yeah. Come on, dude.
Whoa. Absolute Jesus. Silliness.
Jesus. God.
Have you played Star Fox Zero, Dan?
No.
It is you got to try it. It's insane. We have discussed
my disdain for fucking Star Fox.
Well, then you'll get even more of a kick out of it because you'll know it's crap going in. It is so insane playing that game. And like when it works, it's kind of cool, but the sheer insanity of like trying to play the game on with two different perspectives coming on two different screens at the same time is sheer madness. And I'm so glad that's not a thing with the Switch anymore. But yeah, the Switch, I was so wrong on how that thing was going to sell. I can't believe how wrong I was. And I'm super happy about it. I'm so glad to be wrong. But shit, I was wrong.
To be fair, though, and I like the system. I do like the system a lot. I still don't know why it's selling as well as it is. That's really not a knock on it. But comparatively speaking to the other consoles that are available, I still don't understand why it is selling this well.
It's the Zelda's functionality. Good. It's got to be the not functionality. That good. I
it's
disagree.
Not that fun. Like, I mean,
have you started playing it yet?
No. I don't mean Zelda. I mean the functionality part of it. Like that is a thing. But like, I don't. I mean, and this is just for me personally, I guess. But like, I don't see that as enough. Like, and this, I own one. You know what I mean? Like, so having it, I don't get it. I just don't. I really, honestly, don't get. I'm very happy that it is as successful as it is. But when I listened to the bullshit coming out of our mouths a year ago, I totally understand why we thought that, and I don't necessarily think any different now. I just know that I'm wrong, which I guess makes me a Republican. But
at least I can only really speak to myself, but it's that it's so easy to get in and out of games. Like it's just. It's so much easier than...
Well, but people on PS4 and Xbox One have been doing that for 4 years at that point.
Yeah, but no, they haven't.
I can switch back and forth between... I mean, I know I can't take it with me, but...
You can't take it with you. You can't, like, you know, switch it on and off. You can't play it during commercial breaks. Like, 99 times out of 100, when you're done playing a game, the next time you go to play that game, you got to go through the boot sequence again. You got to go to the title screen.
Not even a little bit true. Not even a little bit true. On the PlayStation 4, I can switch back and forth between the PlayStation View or Netflix and a fucking game instantly.
But what if you want to watch TV?
So I go to the PlayStation View, which is my cable box.
That's
your cable box.
That's because you pay for PlayStation View.
Well, if you're not paying $40 a month for everything else you could get on a fucking system, you're not bright. But I'm saying like, but that's what I'm saying. Like the experience that I'm not the only person who has PlayStation View as their cable service. You know what I mean? Like it's not me. Like, oh, fucking Dan, what does Dan want this week for fucking TV? You know, we better put MLB in the basic package because he said he might drop it down. Whoa. Like, it's not just me, you know? So, like, there's lots of people who are just like, click, click, and now I'm watching TV, click, click, and now I'm back playing my game. Like, the only time it's an issue is with an online game, but it would be the same thing with the Switch. Like, if I go to Switch between, like, putting a thing in whatever, like, I'm going to drop out of a lobby. Like, it happens in Dragon Ball FighterZ. I can't jump out of the lobby and watch a show and jump back in for a fight during a... But online games don't work that way anyway. But, like, Shadow of the Colossus, during a commercial break, I fucking pop over.
And how do you know when the commercials are done?
Because commercials are 3 minutes long.
I feel like, Chris, you're going to be fighting this battle.
I'm not trying to wall.
I'm not trying to disparage the PlayStation
4. No, I know you're not. I'm just saying that there is an intrinsic difference between the way you play games on the Switch and the way you play them on the PS4. And when you say that that works for you, I do the majority of my TV watching, not necessarily live. I do it on like the apps, like the CW app, for example. And no, commercials aren't 3 minutes long. Sometimes they're a minute long. Sometimes they're 30 seconds long. Sometimes they're 6 minutes long. They're different every time. And I don't have to worry about switching between the different apps or whatever. I have the thing in my hand. Like, I'm sitting on the couch, I'm playing the Switch, and if I'm in the middle of an online match in Splatoon or whatever, I can kind of keep playing while the TV is running. Like, I can do those two things at the same time until I'm done with the match and then be done with it. Or if any single player game I'm playing, I can literally turn the system off, and then you just press the home button, press A three times, I'm right back into it before the next commercial's even started. You know what I mean? It's...
Well, I mean, that's the same thing on... I mean, whatever.
It's a very similar thing, and I just don't understand why that
to me. And like I said, this is my own shit. But like that to me does not explain why this system is selling as well as it is.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't necessarily explain why it's selling as well as it is. Other than
that's what I'm saying. Like I still don't get it.
It's got to be at least partially the game library, because it's not just Zelda. It's Zelda. It's Mario Kart. It's Mario Odyssey. It's Splatoon 2. I mean, these games were all pretty massive, and the fact that they were coming out once a month for like a year, I think it's the game library that's a very big part of it. It's the and the portability the ability to take it on planes, the ability to play it on the fucking toilet, which I don't mind talking about it. I love playing the game on the toilet. It's fine with me. I love playing it in bed. It has intrinsically changed the way I play video games, and I did not see that coming. From a billion miles away, I never would have expected that. And I think that there's a lot of other people that are like me that have had that experience with it, and they're the ones that have talked about it, and word of mouth has spread about it.
There's nobody else like me, Chris.
There is nobody else like me. Thank God. Thank God for that. All right, so let's move on to our next clip, which makes me chuckle. Evan, what do you call this one?
Especially after this conversation that we just had. This one is called, okay, Dan, we get it.
I have had every Nintendo system since the NES. Every single one. Multiple iterations of them. I have, bought the original NES, then bought the top loader. Bought the original Super Nintendo, then bought the fucking smaller version. Tiff had a Virtual Boy, we're married, it counts. Had a Game Boy, had a Game Boy Color in a couple different colors because one broke. Had a fucking Game Boy Advance, had a Game Boy Advance SP. Got a different Game Boy Advance SP because they released it with the Nintendo thing. Fucking Tiff had, again, Tiff had an N64, that counts. So I count as, that is me having that. Had a GameCube, had a Game Boy player. Had a fucking Wii, had a Wii U. I will not be buying a Switch. They haven't learned. I stick by it. Stand by it 100%.
I think what makes it most for me is they haven't learned.
They haven't learned.
And I know that you own one. I know I do.
You just don't know why I do. But they have learned. That's the thing. They have.
We just don't know what they learned.
They learned to stop doing garbage. They learned that it's okay to make games that just control with buttons. They learned that it's okay to not force everything to be some sort of weird mini game collection or motion controlled out the wazoo. For the most part, they've learned that. They've learned, oh, people just like to play video games. Why don't we just make those?
Not based on that first conference, they didn't.
Exactly. Not based on that first
conference.
Which
is why I still stick by it. Is there no other point in that show where I said that I will still end up with one? Because I know I said that many times.
I think you said it on later episodes.
Because many, many times after that. Like,
you definitely kept saying, you said several times you will not be buying one of the systems.
And I didn't want to buy, like, and I, the reason that I have one now, look, honestly, as much as I do like the system, if I did not have children, I would not have purchased one. Like that is just like, that's a fact. We have a Switch in the house now because the kids wanted one for Christmas. They wanted to play Mario. They wanted to play Splatoon. And it's awesome. My daughter Katie plays Splatoon all the time. She's very excited about the Splatfests, and she's going to be Team Egg for the next Splatfest, which is coming up, which she should obviously be Team Chicken.
But that's similar to me not having a PS4. Like, it's not like you dislike the games on it, but there hasn't been anything released on it that says Dan needs to own this that you can only get on the Switch. I mean, there are games that are on Switch that you need to have,
sure,
Celeste, but those are also on your PlayStation 4.
Right, exactly. Like, that's the thing. Without children, I would not have purchased this system, and I had no plans. I know I said eventually on later episodes that we would end up with one because of the kids.
Yeah.
And that is the reason that we have one now. You know, like, that is still the reason. Katie has, you know, tons and tons and tons of hours logged on Splatoon 2, and Penny has played a whole shit ton of Mario Odyssey, and we got Pokken Tournament DX or whatever the hell that one is. So I've played that a little bit with him, but I still barely play that system.
Man, you have a Switch game I don't have.
Yeah, well, you know, your kids aren't old enough to want to be Lucha Pikachu.
Oh, come on, you want to be Lucha Pikachu.
That, you're not wrong, and when I play, I am Lucha Pikachu. However...
That is not the point.
That is not the point. I stick by my statement.
Also, you said that the Nintendo 64 thing, that it was Tiff had one that counts.
Yeah.
I think you can do better than that, because you lived in a dorm room where there was an N64. You lived in the same premises as an N64. So do you
That's true.
That's an even closer connection.
That is even closer.
N64.
My roommate Dave, he had the 64.
He sure did.
I was flabbergasted when we drove to GameStop and he was like, "I'm going to go buy No Mercy." "Yeah, how much is that?" $80. 80 what? Dollars? Fucking serious? Okay. Good on you.
And it's absolutely insane that, yes, it was that much, but you totally got that much money's worth out of that game.
Oh, my God. We got $8,000 worth of money out of that game, at least. At least.
Craziness.
Still not buying one.
So this next clip is interesting. What have you got for us, Evan?
Okay, this one I call Chris Pretends to Know Something About Sports.
Nintendo needs EA. Nintendo needs EA Sports on their platform, and FIFA's not going to have an impact here in America.
I still don't think you're wrong.
I'm of two minds of this one. I think that would do wonders for their lineup, because even as flaming hot garbage as NBA 2K and WWE 2K were when they launched,
they're so bad.
They're so broken. I just got the new issue of Nintendo Force, and they gave WWE like a 3 out of 10.
That's generous.
It's just broken. It's such awful ports.
It's broken NBA on the PS4 and on the Xbox One.
Yeah, the game's just awful, but it sold well. And actually, NBA 2K did pretty well as well, and it's also, that's been patched, so hooray for that. They finally made it playable. But
sure,
even in those instances, like, I don't know, EA Sports lineup on Switch, I don't necessarily know that they need that anymore. Like, I don't think it's as important, because clearly the system's doing okay without them, but I do think that they would be very, very good to have. Madden on Switch would do well. FIFA actually did well. I think FIFA is the first or second best. It's the second best selling third party game after Mario plus Rabbids, which, I mean, is a freaking Mario game. So, I mean, FIFA did okay. I don't think it did what EA necessarily wanted it to do, but it is still selling all right. So that's something. But, I mean, like, what else is really missing from EA Sports lineup? I mean, EA's other games, I'm actually totally fine without them. I don't want Battlefront on Switch. I don't want Battlefront at all. That game can go scratch with its loot boxes. and I don't know what else EA makes that I even really I'm itching for. It's their sports stuff that, like, yeah, I think there's a lot of kids that have Switches that also like sports and they want to play a football game or they want to play a hockey game. I might get a hockey game if NHL came to EA to Switch. Like, I might actually consider that because I like hockey. But I don't know. It's a weird situation.
It's weird because I think you're right. But what I worry about with the Switch, and we can, you know, pull this clip next year. I worry about the longevity of the system.
Well, we can actually talk more about that in our second half of the show, because that's one of the points we're going to talk about. But yes, that is a concern. But the whole thing with Nintendo, me being so sure that Nintendo needs EA, I am a little less harsh on that, because I feel like other third parties are more interested in stepping up, and it does suck that they don't have as many sports games, but there's the third party coverage is starting to pick up. Like, obviously it's behind because third parties were understandably very timid about jumping under the Switch, and now they have to play catch up because now you've got this system that's selling super well and, like, crap, we need to get games on it. And it's, you know, starting off with ports and whatnot, which makes sense because that's the easiest stuff to get over there. So I don't know. We'll talk more about that later, but that was, I just thought, was an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of interesting things, Mario Kart. Evan, what's this next bit? What did you call this one?
Mario Kart again?
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which I'm stoked for.
Yeah, I mean,
look, I loved Mario Kart 8, and this fixes battle mode.
Right. It should be a new game. It better not be fucking full price.
Yeah, that's my real caveat. If they want to sell this at full price, I'm going to be a little ticked off. Because, again, I might actually skip it. Because the new battle mode looks neat. I like the ability to hold two items. That's really, really interesting. But there doesn't seem to be any new single-player courses, like racing courses.
Right.
And if there's none of that new content, I'll just stick with my Wii U version. Oh, I was so wrong about this. I bought this game, and I've dumped a bunch of hours into it. I
wasn't wrong. I'm not buying it for full price. When we were sitting there in Best Buy with our gift cards, my kids were looking at, they had Sonic Forces and Pokken Tournament and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And I was, don't you fucking buy Mario Kart.
You slapped it out of your child's hand.
Don't give them money for that shit again. I don't care that it has the DLC. No. Don't do that.
I'm still peeved that it's $60, but considering how much this game is sold, it's kind of hard to begrudge them that, because, like, clearly they knew what they were doing, because this game sold a lot. But I mean, I've put the money into it, and it's been really cool to have, because I think we've only played it at home like 3 or 4 times, but every time we go out, like, I was waiting at a doctor's office, and Karen was with me, and we're playing Mario Kart. We go to a movie, we're playing Mario Kart. We go out on a date night, play some Mario Kart. Like, it's so cool to have the best Mario Kart with us at all times, where it's like when we can each have our own controller and pop the kickstand and play Mario Kart. Like, I'm still cheesed that it was $60, and the thing with the ports being $60, like, I gave him a pass on Bayonetta because it's two games. I'm getting the full first game as well, so all right, you can have my $60. But, like, man, when Donkey Kong comes out later this year, I want that game again. I really want to play through that game again, and I want to do it with theoretically lower loading times, and I want to be able to do it portably. But $60 again, I just don't know if I can swing it, especially when you can go into a store and buy the game on Wii U for $20.
Well, yeah, but, like, I look at that, and, you know, and I know, like, Tiff feels the same way too, because, like, we got Pokken Tournament because we never had the Wii U one, so, like, okay, that's new for us, you know what I mean? Which, again, may not be the case for everybody, but, like, without question, the Friday, because Shadow of the Colossus came out on Tuesday, I got paid on Friday, bought it again on Friday, didn't even think twice about it, because it was $40. I wouldn't have bought it if it was $60, because I already bought that game.
Yeah, but I mean, see, to be put myself in your shoes, I absolutely would have bought that game again, because that was not just a port. That was a full remake of that game.
But that's exactly what I'm saying.
And that $40 they could have pulled off $60 on that game. I wouldn't have bought it.
They probably could have, but I know for me, like, looking at that, that does not carry the value proposition of, like, I'm not paying full price for that again. Like, you can't. I still don't think that's okay. I still don't. And I know there's a bit of a contradiction there, because, like I said, I bought Pokken Tournament at full price.
Well, yeah, but it was new to you.
And but it was new to me. But I'm
the thing with Mario Kart is, like, yeah, sure, it contains all the DLC, but I already bought all the DLC. Like,
right, did most people.
It was not logical for me to go out and buy it, but I have gotten my money's worth out of it.
Right.
It sucks that it was so much money, but... Yeah, that's a weird one. It's just that I said I'd probably skip it, and I most certainly did not. I could not resist buying that game again, and I'm glad I did.
Here's a question: Let's just say that at E3 this year they announce that Metroid Prime 4 will be coming in 2019, but in 2018 you get to rebuy the Metroid Prime trilogy. How much are you willing to pay for that?
If they've remastered them, like, if they're actually in HD, I'll pay full price for that. Absolutely.
Would you?
The three Metroid Prime games and HD, that is a shitload of hours worth of gameplay right there. And to experience those games again in HD or portable, yeah, I'd pay full price for that. Absolutely.
$40.
Now, if they were just going to say, here's Metroid Prime 3 Corruption in HD, like, here's one of them.
Right.
Hell no, not for $60. But, you know, like I just said, I would have paid $60 for that Shadow of the Colossus remake, because that was a thorough remake. That wasn't just a port. That wasn't just an HD reskin. That's new artwork. That's so much more detailed than the original versions. You know, that's not like paying $60 for the God of War remaster, because that was just... The art direction was good enough to just make it HD and call it a day. I mean, shit.
And also, that wasn't $60.
That wasn't $60. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Sony that doesn't shouldn't do have that. Been $60. Right.
Sony doesn't do that.
What was it? Twilight Princess HD was $60, but that was because they included the damn amiibo with it. And I think did Wind Waker HD come out? I didn't even care. It was my favorite game ever.
I don't think that one was full price, but
I don't think so either.
Evan, go ahead and mark it down at like a minute and 2 seconds or an hour and 2 minutes next year when we're going over this again, when Chris has purchased Metroid Prime 3 Corruption for the full $60 because he just couldn't help himself.
Okay.
Noted. You're right. I can already say that I wouldn't just buy it on the Metroid name, because I still have not bought Federation Force.
Nope, but you would buy...
I would pick up Corruption.
You'll be like, well, I can play it portably. When I'm out on a date with my wife, I can ignore her by playing Metroid.
No. No, sir. No, if they want to slap an HD remake of just Metroid Prime 3 and not and charge $60 for it, I'm not going to buy Donkey Kong at $60. And mostly because I'm not thirsty for games anymore. You know, I'm not like completely parched for new content, which
hour and 4 minutes, Evan. I'm not going to buy Donkey Kong for $60.
I'm not going to buy Donkey Kong for $60. I won't. But that's what I'm saying about Mario Kart, is if Mario Kart came out now, I don't think I would buy it. You know, and Mario Kart was one of the earliest games on the platform, and it, at $60, like, all right, here's another game for me to play on my Switch. Now I've got a freaking backlog. And a whole mountain of other games that haven't even come out yet that I'm going to buy. So, yeah, I probably would pass on Mario Kart now. Like, if they were like, all right, and here's the new Mario Kart, cool. Now, Smash Brothers is kind of a different animal, but we'll get that later. All right, last clip before we take our break and get to our second segment.
Man, these guys hate March.
Don't launch in March. Launch in April, when the only game announced for April is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
But they
one game announced
did that
three.
Right.
We are 3 months away from this. From April, we're 2 months away from the system coming out. Less than 2 months, because it comes out the beginning of March. We're a month and a half away, and there are two big titles that are going to be available. One of them has been on the Wii U, and everybody has it.
But this is the thing that bothers me even more, is the fact that they didn't release. Kimishima said they didn't release in November because they wanted to make sure that they had the right amount of games so that there wouldn't be these big gaps. They held off because they didn't think that they had enough games. Can you honestly tell me that they think they have enough games now?
Well, yeah, they did, but they didn't tell us that.
Yep, I stand by everything we said there based on the information we had. Yeah, I don't know why we're even doing this. Everything we said a year ago was right.
Was right based on that information at the time. It's just crazy how wrong it turned out to be. Because they had an amazing lineup for the whole goddamn year. And they launched with, they showed us 1-2 Switch. They spent so much time on that stupid minigame collection. And they had all this great content lined up. All, you know, this cool stuff from third parties coming out. Like, they must have known that Bethesda was interested in making Doom for the platform a few months later. Like, why wouldn't you have that stuff? Why save that for a Nintendo Direct a few months down the line? Like,
yeah, still a dumb idea.
Still a dumb idea. And it's hysterical to me that at this time we're looking at the games. We were talking about how absolutely anemic the launch was for the Switch, and like the gamble on people would be too busy playing Zelda to care paid off because they were right. I didn't need anything else until Blaster Master came out, and even then I blew through that game, went right back to Zelda. It's so insane to me that this gamble of theirs paid off. Like, they didn't need a bunch of other crap at launch because they did stack the deck so that things would gradually keep coming out. And it came out all the way through December. Then they took January off, and then February, their big game was Bayonetta, and in March, their big game's Kirby, in April, their big game is Labo. Like, they're keeping up that whole thing where they have a bunch of games that are coming out, and obviously then you add the indie stuff that just is just by the boatload on top of everything else. Every week there's a must-have game, which is like, come on, take a fucking break. Which
it's exhausting.
It is. This is so weird because this is this complete opposite problem that the Wii U had. I have this like crazy backlog of games, and they keep releasing new ones, and I'm like, wow, I'd really like to play that game, but I'm not even gonna buy it because I still have like three other games to beat. Like, I'm not gonna get to that one yet. And it's just crazy, the indie output. But again, we can talk about that after the break. Fucking bananas. Well, Dan, how you feeling?
Vindicated, I think, is the word.
You will not own a Switch.
I don't. My kids do.
Your kids don't. Oh, boo.
Boo. Cop out. All right. Obviously, there's a whole lot more. I mean, it was well over 2 hours of us talking about this kind of stuff. So if you want to go back and listen to the whole thing, it's episodes 135.1 and 135.2. But we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to give our current impressions on the Switch and how it's performed in its first year. You are listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around.
And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, Geekade's monthly music preview is here. This month, Janelle has picked some highlights that tie into the phrase, in like a lion, out like a lamb, which I'm told is an actual expression used by humans. This doesn't sound like I would say this at all, by the way.
Is it? I wrote that because I wanted to know if that's something you'd heard before.
I've read it before. I've never heard a human utter, in like a lion, out like a lion. That's like, slap. If someone says that, you should.
I was unfamiliar with it, but it made sense in the context of the article.
you should carry around a leather glove for moments when somebody might say, in like a lion, out like a lamb, and you just slap them and say no.
It's pretty low on my leather glove list, which I do carry with me.
Leather glove. The old LGL, huh?
Yep. The old LGL. I use it to carry my JGLD.
This month, this new music from the Fratellis, Jack White, the Decemberists, and more. Don't miss Turn It Up, new music releases for March 2018, located in the Think Tank.
Next, do you like watching people play games?
Nope, especially not at the fucking movie theater.
You don't have to watch. It's a 6-inch screen. If you're watching me play Mario Kart, you got a problem.
Motherfucker, if it's dark and there's a shiny light, I'm like a moth.
It's not dark when they're showing the commercials.
It's dark-ish. It's like that Blackish show. It's darkish.
That sounds like a you problem. Anyway, do you like hearing interesting and witty commentary while they do so? Clearly you don't, but I do. And do you like websites with purple logos? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Geekade's Jordan Hazelwood, aka The Synapse, has a new streaming show on the Geekade Twitch channel called TSZ2. You see, the way he spells the synapse is T-H-E, capital S-Y-N-A-P, capital Z-E, with the Z at the end, the capital, and so it can be abbreviated to T-S-Z, and Totally Streams, which is the other part of the name of the show, is spelled Totally, and then Streams, with the S and a Z, and the capital is Z, so it could also be abbreviated T-S-Z, and then you put those together, it's T-S-Z, T-S-Z, or T-S-Z-2, or T-S-Z squared, I don't know how he says it, but it's way easier to say, so we'll just go ahead and refer to the show that way going forward. Anyway, catch new episodes live every Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. And the first game he's playing is Everybody's Golf for PS4, and it's over on the Geekade Twitch channel. And hey, just so you know, I was a guest on Jordan's podcast, Nonstop Comic Shop, this week, so you should totally check that out as well.
Let me guess. Talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
We did not.
Get the fuck out of here.
Now, he was counting down the worst comics he's ever reviewed.
Oh, and, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Turtles definitely wasn't one of them. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Good. Evan, you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Right there, aren't you?
Well, I had to turn the knob on because I keep myself quiet. What's up?
I'm gonna go ahead and need you to reread or read for the first time all of Invincible, because it just recently ended and you and I need to do a podcast on that. So
all of Invincible?
Yeah, it's like 150 issues.
Yeah, that's it, because I got some. All right, we'll see.
No. I said this is what's happening, Evan.
And you know how many times I've heard that come out of your face?
Not often. Not when it involves you.
I still have Bagged and Boarded's logo on my fucking computer in front of me.
Because it'll happen again. Finally, the Mutant Musings podcast is known for answering the tough questions. What is the correct way to stir macaroni? Obviously with your penis. Which Cheerios are the best Cheerios? Obviously the ones around your penis. Sorry.
Stop.
What would a sequel to a black and white cookie look like? This month's episode is no different.
What the hell just happened?
I was wondering what a sequel to a black and white cookie was. It was called a pregnant pause, Chris. Professional broadcasting. Come on now.
I thought you were just trying to come up with a dick joke. Anyway, go on.
No, I just would have said dick joke, which would have been really funny. What would a sequel to a black and white cookie look like? Dick joke. This month's episode is no different. As Jonathan and Patty, they must not like me very much, will be tackling these intense topics and more, maybe even some about comics, who knows, in the latest episode of Mutant Musings, Red Dead Redemption. Get it? It's a Jean Grey joke. Red? Read? Ah.
That was supposed to say dead. I can't type.
Dick joke.
Dick joke. You can catch all this great stuff. Plus tons of other, for some reason, if you're still listening, you can catch all this great stuff. Plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com.
All right.
right, we're back. So we're going to just go ahead and do this little report card thingy here. So what we wanted to do was see where the Switch is a year out. And now that we've discussed how right and what wrong we were, depending on your perspective, in a year ago, let's talk about where the Switch is right now, besides in Dan's house, because he owns one.
Because I own one. I don't. My kids own one, Chris. Let's be very clear about this.
Yes.
It's all like right, President Obama. Let me be clear before every fucking thing I say. Let me be clear.
It's important to be clear. So let's see. It launched on March 3rd, 2017. Mm-hmm. It has sold 14.5 million units worldwide. It has already surpassed Wii U's lifetime sales in less than a year, and it's just behind Vita's lifetime sales of 15.9 million. And the Vita has been on the market for about 34 years.
Something like that.
Something like that.
That one doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no.
Because Sony has not done right by the...
No, they have not. Hmm. It is still kind of sad that the Wii U didn't even surpass Vita sales.
Also not surprising.
Not surprising, but like we live in a world where like a system that has just been so abused by its creator, a mainline home Nintendo console, did not sell as well as anyway. It's the fastest selling console ever in many regions. There are several million selling pieces of software, including a Zelda Breath of the Wild being the first Zelda to sell over a million in Japan since Ocarina of Time. Unlike the Wii and Wii U, it not only is selling hardware, but it is also selling software. Like, games are selling well. And people are playing the games, too. So it's not just people buying them. People are buying them and playing them, which is crazy. There have been, at least last I checked, there were 397 games released in the U.S. for the system, with 351 more announced, which is bananas.
That's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games. So let's break it down by category here. So the Switch report card, let's talk about the hardware itself, the actual physical system, not the user interface. That'll be a different category. The actual physical system. How do you think it came out? How is it holding up to the test of time with your kids and all that business?
It seems to be doing pretty well. I have concerns about the overall life of the system because, man, if you leave it in that dock, it gets very, very warm in there.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not had that issue.
Like, very, at least it does in my house. And I know that's something, like, I was looking at buying a second dock and, like, just reading reviews online and stuff of different, like, third-party docks and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely heard lots of bad things about third-party docks.
But these were, like, the docks that I was looking at had, like, built-in fans and shit because people were complaining about the heat generated by leaving their system in the dock. And I've certainly noticed that with ours. Now, ours is in a room that doesn't get terribly great ventilation, but it's not like you walk in there and you like start spritzing, you know what I mean? It's not that hot, but
there's not meat hanging on the walls. Like you're not cooking a roast.
There is
at room temperature.
But very different reasons for that. So
that's
like
just for decoration.
I've noticed that, and I do, like, just basing it on the standard hardware, I hate that there is not a D-pad. Little clicky fucking buttons I can't stand.
Yeah.
I just don't enjoy using them for anything.
Hmm.
So I would say, like, I don't know, I would give it, like, a B-.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and give it a B+. The D-pad was a big sticking issue with me, and I do wish they'd release a Joy-Con with a standard D-pad. I can't believe that they haven't yet. But I've honestly found the buttons to be far more manageable than I ever could have possibly imagined them being. Like, I don't even notice it sometimes. Celeste was really hard to play with it because pretty much any D-pad game where there's a lot of diagonals involved,
right,
they're more difficult. But if you're playing something like, say, like a Mega Man style game or or like, you know, Dandara was an issue because that's all analog stick, but like anything where it's just like, you know, you're really not doing much in the way of diagonals, even some diagonals, it's I found it to be perfectly usable, which is weird to say because it seems like something I would hate, but it has turned out to be actually kind of okay.
Where I'm looking at it is I play fighting games with the D-pad.
Yeah, I don't have a fighting game yet, so that is also kind right. of a big deal. Street Fighter is coming out for this thing.
Right, but I could not imagine
that with my pro controller.
But we're not talking about, you know, ancillary add-ons and whatnot.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, we're talking about the hardware. As a system you're itself, right.
And maybe it works great. It very well might. I can't imagine trying to pull off, like, fireball motions or dragon uppercuts on the little clicky buttons.
Man, I can't either, but then again, if I'm thinking about fucking parrying, like, that's going to work really well on the buttons because there's no accidentally pressing up when you're trying to press right. It's a fucking button, so...
Sure. Yeah, that's weird. That's a fair point.
I can't wait to mess with Third Strike on this thing. It's going to be so weird. It's going to be so weird. Well, yeah, I didn't even think about that. But I'm still going to stick with my B plus though, just based on what I have, and I do have a lot. The little buttons thing hasn't been as much of an issue. I have had a couple issues with the Joy-Cons desyncing and acting weird. My left Joy-Con does occasionally F up, but only when it's not connected to the system itself. Okay. Like if I plug it into that little controller thingy, like Karen and I would be playing Overcooked, and then every now and then it'd be like, "Well, he won't stop walking straight. And no buttons. This is all he's doing now. He's just walking up. None of my buttons are doing anything." And it'll last a couple of seconds. And you know, when you're playing a game like Overcooked, like that screws up your. You got to start over because
right. That's
every second
run.
Counts when you're trying to get 3 stars on everything. But
yeah, I haven't had that issue at all.
I did have an issue where I had to send one of my Joy-Cons back, but that's just because I was holding my daughter and chasing my son and holding the Switch at the same time because he wanted to go downstairs and play stuff, and then I accidentally ran into a wall with it, and the right Joy-Con wouldn't lock in place anymore. Like, it all worked just fine, but the right Joy-Con wouldn't lock in place, and the woman on the phone with Nintendo support was like, I was trying to figure out if the Joy-Con was the problem or if the system was the problem, and she had this great idea. It's like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take the left Joy-Con off, and you're going to put it on the right-hand side upside down and see if it clicks. And it did. So it's like, well, that's it. The Joy-Con's the problem. So I sent it back, and they sent me, they fixed mine and sent it right back. So it worked out just fine. I just, you know, I haven't had the heating issue with mine. I have noticed that it gets warm, but I've not noticed it being dangerously warm. Mm-hmm. So I do still wish that the kickstand was a little bit better. It's not the best. Like the one on my phone case is better than the one that came with the system. But
right.
Things like the battery life have not been an issue for me at all. Which I still find weird, but I guess I just don't play for that long when I'm not at home and it's not fully charged. So
yeah,
I thought that was going to be a much bigger issue than it turned out to be. So yeah, I'm going to give the hardware a B plus. I'll give it a solid B. I'm take away the plus. I'm just going to go solid B on the hardware.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can fault the system for you running into the wall.
Yeah, no, definitely can't fault the system for that.
I threw it out of my second story window and it broke. What the fuck?
It is a handheld and there was, you know, impact involved. Like, this is a handheld thing and sometimes accidents happen. And the fact that it didn't hold up too, like, I didn't run into the wall hard. It was just it was kind of a nudge. And right. it just hit the wrong spot. And it still snapped into place, but I was able to pull it off without pressing the button. You know what I mean?
And I do.
That was kind of bothersome that wasn't stronger, but you know, I guess I get it. It's interesting. Solid B. All right. Marketing and messaging. How do you feel about the system's marketing and messaging? How has Nintendo communicated what the Switch is to the people?
I still don't know that they've done a great job, but I don't know that it's mattered.
Really? See, this one I think I give them an A+ on. I mean, everyone knew exactly what the Switch was. Like, they got it in seconds. Oh, it's a handheld that's also the console. Neat. Like, confusion. There was no... The whole Wii U confusing messaging. Like, is this a... is this like an addition? Is this an accessory? Like, no, it's like you know exactly what the Switch is and what it does right out of the box.
Yeah, I guess I'm just like thinking about like looking at it in total and going back to this first press conference, which was not great.
Yeah, the 1-2 Switch messaging was kind of a dash against it. So you're definitely right there. That was a piece of messaging that made me think that more of the library was going to be motion controlled schlock.
Right, right.
So yeah, I'd knock that down to an A instead of an A plus for me anyway.
But then also, like, I'm thinking, I haven't spent a lot of time, and this is something that you can certainly speak to better than I can, but I haven't spent a ton of time on, like, the eShop. And, you know, we had talked before about how much I did not care for the Wii Shop on the Wii or the Wii U. I just didn't think it was laid out very well and didn't really do a super job of highlighting games.
Especially the Wii. The Wii U was a big step forward, but it still had its issues. But man, the Wii Shop was wow.
Yeah. Is it better on Switch? I don't even know that I've gone on the digital storefront.
Oh, it's much better. It doesn't have as much character. Like, it doesn't have catchy music or anything like that. It's very not Nintendo. Which I guess is...
I don't know that I need character when I'm just trying to buy a game. Like, hey, what can I buy? You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, you just go to the shop. It takes a second to load up, and it's like, new games on sale, best sellers, and coming soon. And, like, so there's highlighting older content is not the shop's forte at the moment. But just as far as, like, seeing what's there and adding things to your wish list, like, is just... It's super easy.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a huge step up for them. Absolutely. Okay. It is missing a little bit of personality, which kind of sucks because some of the things that I liked about the Wii U shop were, that it had so much personality, you know, they would change the music every couple of months. And like the fact that there was shopping music in the background was kind of nice. And they would do these big, like bold highlights of games. Like, these are games with Kirby in them, you know? And like, they'd just do these like little sections that they'd throw up in there and there'd be like older games and that you can check out that, you know, have fallen to the wayside that aren't just the newest releases. And stuff like that is kind of missing from the current eShop. So it's not a perfect situation, but from every other shop that I've been on, I feel it's at least on par just for different reasons.
Okay. That's fair.
All right, so what grade would you give their marketing messaging?
I am going to refrain from... Well, no, I won't refrain. C.
C? All right.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I'm giving that one an A. All right, functionality and user interface. How do you feel about that?
I think it is very good.
As do I.
I think it is very easy to jump in and... like just click a button a couple times and I'm right back into the game. I think that is very nice. I don't remember if I had an issue setting things up. I think it was just because the kids were yelling.
That happens.
Set this up. I want to play now. Oh shit. All right. I'm sorry. But no, I think the parental controls are good. No, I think they've done a really nice job with that, actually.
As do I, for the most part. There's the functionality. I obviously love the functionality of being able to, I like how well it works with the switching between TV and handheld mode. It's ridiculous how fast that is. You know, I adore so much of its functionality. The user interface, I'm going to kind of slap it back a little bit. I'm going to give them a B on this one because there are certain things about the UI that I think are just insane that they're not there. Particularly things that have been on, you know, other platforms. Like, I can't believe their like themes aren't a thing. The themes are black and white. Why aren't you charging me to buy a Zelda theme? Like,
oh, that's coming. Don't worry, Chris.
No, it should be coming. It should be here. There's no reason for it not to be here. Like, that's money on the table. That's so easy. There's themes on 3DS, and that's great. It's just so weird that that's not included in this. And what I'm finding now, especially since there are so many games on it, and I have so many games already, like, why can't I make folders? Like, I could make folders on the Wii U, and I can make folders on the 3DS. How the hell are folders not a thing? I'm astonished by this.
That's a fair point. I mean, we talked about it, I think, maybe last week, though. Like, there's still certain stuff on the PS4 where it's like, oh, good, I can finally hide in my purchased games that fucking demo I downloaded six years ago.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Like, why the hell haven't I been able to hide that this whole time?
Yeah, you know? But again, I'm not trying to hold it up to the standards of other systems, because every system's got these kinds of problems.
Yeah.
Just based on its own merits. Like, I need folders. I want Netflix on this thing. Hulu's cute and all, but I don't have Hulu. I have Netflix, and I really want to watch TV on this little screen, because it's the nicest portable screen that I have, because I don't have an iPad or a tablet in the house. I have the Switch, and if I'm in bed and I've finished playing Picross and I'm not quite ready to go to sleep yet, I'd like to be able to just boot up Netflix, but I can't. It's just Hulu, and I'm flabbergasted by that, because Netflix is on everything. What the hell? I'm going to give the functionality user interface a B, because I think that it gets tons of stuff right and most of the big important stuff right, but there's a couple little quality of life things that would just make, you know, like the way that it handles cleaning the fridge is so much better than it used to be. You know, like, well, you ran out of system memory here. If you archive this right now, it'll give you it. Like, it'll actually show you archive these two games you haven't played in 3 months, and you'll be able to download this right now. And like, I love that it does that, and that's great.
Pretty cool. That's not a problem I've run into, because, you know, we had three games. But
yeah, well, I mean, I got an SD card now, so everything like just kind of goes on that. But I love that the whole archiving games works so much easier and cleaner now than it used to. It's such a big improvement. But the loss of things like folders and customization options, as far as like the actual user interface, they're just weird.
And I'm sure they're coming.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. They're coming. They've got to be. I mean, they know that we're talking about this stuff, and I'm sure there's going to be some. I feel confident that when they do their online service in September, that there's going to be some sort of massive overhaul that comes with that. So that's another weird thing. I don't really know how to. I didn't really know how to put a grade on their online service, because it doesn't really exist yet, which is freaking weird. But again, like, to exactly what you were talking about with the PlayStation, like, oh, I can finally do this bullshit thing that should have been there from day one. Like, I don't understand why more people aren't angry that the online infrastructure isn't really functional yet on the Switch. Like, it doesn't bug me too much, because really the only game I'm playing online is Splatoon, and that works fine. You know, it would be nice if I could voice chat with my friends, but I don't really have a lot of friends who I'm playing Splatoon with on a regular basis. So jumping into rando matches is what I do. And I don't want to talk to any of those people. So,
yeah, they're way better than I am.
Yeah, they really are.
I don't want to feel bad about myself.
I'm doing okay. I was just playing the game this last weekend, and I kept running in like being second place in my teams every time. But still, yeah, most people are way better at that game than I am.
I don't know. My daughter is way better than I am.
Does she use motion controls?
No.
That's awesome. Most of the best players use motion controls, and I don't freaking get it, because they were brilliant in Zelda, and I cannot get behind them in Splatoon. I just can't get them to work for me.
No, she does. She does run with the Splat dualies, though. That is her weapon of choice.
The dualies are awesome. That dodge move is where it's at. All right. So the last category. Oh, actually, no. There's two categories. We've got the games library, current games library, games that are out on the platform. What is your grade for that? Now, not necessarily just for you personally, but how do you think the system is doing as a platform?
I think I would give it a very solid B, mostly because of the, like, looking at it from, like, what are the exclusives? And it's a bit of an unfair position to be in, because it's only been out for a year. But of the exclusives that are there, you know, I'm still not going to count Mario Kart and Pokken Tournament and like the Wii U ports. Like, I'm not looking at those. So like, you've got the big ones. You've got Zelda, which is excellent, and you've got Mario Odyssey, which I also understand is excellent, but is not for me. And then after that, the must-play exclusives on the system, I feel, drop off pretty dramatically after those two. Not that there aren't good ones, but there's not stuff on that level.
Yeah, I mean, Mario and Zelda are kind of on their own level. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's undeniable. You know, then you got your next step down, like Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which I can't believe is over a million seller. That makes me so happy that that franchise is now stable. That's wonderful. But, I mean, again, it's not something that I'm going to play anytime soon. Mario plus Rabbids is another exclusive. Fire Emblem Warriors. Yay.
Yeah, we've talked more than enough about Fire Emblems not being for us.
Yeah, and like combining that with a Musou game, like, boy, is that really not for me.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, like, I don't know, looking at the games lineup, like, you know, looking at it objectively, I would say it's like it's in that B2B plus category, but I don't know. Like, it's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess, I got in this conversation with a couple of people online recently about how, like, it seems like, oh, there's no games for it. It's like, well, all right, I don't understand why you mean there's no games. There's so many games for it. It's like, yeah, well, let's look at the exclusives. Like, well, there's more than just the, why does a game have to be exclusive in order to count is what I don't understand. Like,
well, it's not necessarily that it has to be exclusive in order for it to count, but it does matter when you're looking at it from a, you know, what we were talking about earlier and last year of when I'm sitting there and I have $300 and I can get A or B, my decision is going to come down to the exclusives, you know? And if I'm looking at like, okay, I can play Mario and Zelda, or I can play God of War and Last of Us and Uncharted and, you know, XYZ that's out on PlayStation, you know, Horizon and all of these other games, or whatever people are playing on the Xbox One. And I'm not saying that to be a dick. I just don't know what they are other than, like, you know, Crackdown. You know, I think that's where the exclusivity thing comes into play.
See, now, I look at that and... But I look at it as more of like an overall library, which is, again, why I chose not to cancel my pre-order. It's like, well, yeah, Wonder Boy is also on PlayStation 4, but this has these plus all those. And,
right,
you know, like, for example, I'd be talking to a lot of people online and be like, well, Bayonetta doesn't count because it's on Wii U. Like, yeah, but who's playing that on Wii U right now? Like, this is a fantastic game that you can now play on this system that, you know, fucking works. Like, that just does things better. And I think that having, you know, I bought that game and I bought it back on Wii U as well, and I don't regret buying it again on Switch because I'm actually playing it now on Switch. I bought it on Wii U and I didn't play it.
You regret buying it on Wii U?
I do now, yeah. I'm glad I never got around to trying to, like, really track down that Bayonetta 1 disc, because, well, now I have it on Switch, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. But I currently have 22 games in my library, which I think might have actually increased since I did my show notes here. It might be up to 24. I don't remember exactly when I wrote this, but there are also 27 other games on my wish list out of what's available now. So that's 49 games in the first year that I either own or want to own. And that's pretty impressive, I think, because...
It is very impressive for a year.
It is very impressive for a year, because if I'm looking at Wii U in my collection, now granted, I'm not keeping track of the digital downloads, but I know there weren't that many. I own 27 physical Wii U games, and I got that thing at launch.
Right.
And then I own probably another maybe another 15 digital games and then like a crap load of like virtual console. But that's not even a factor on Switch. And in its first year, I have more games than that, which is bananas.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to have my Switch with me to run down the list of games that are on my wish list, but you know, whatever. Doesn't really matter in the long run. I have to give the games library an A minus. I'm still giving it that minus because I think while it has been, there's almost something for everybody, there are still some glaring holes in the lineup. You know, Doom is great. It's an amazing game, and I'm glad Wolfenstein's coming and Resident Evil is there, but there are still more of those kinds of games that are missing from its library. There's sports games are still pretty shoddy on the Switch's library. So as far as offering all things to all people, it is still a little shy, but the stuff that is there is of such high quality, it's absolutely ridiculous. And how easy it is to get them and how readily available games are, how easy it is to get things on the eShop. I'm given that it's first year of games an A minus. Cause I mean, really just we talked about this on our end of year show all around that last year was insane for video games. Just absolutely insane. Whether you had a Switch or a PlayStation bananas. 4, it was just like, well, I'm either playing Zelda or Horizon. And those are probably some of the best games that anyone's made in years. So
it's
ridiculous. And especially given that it was the Switch's first year in existence, to have so many like just amazing games on it is just ridiculous. All right. Last category is future software. And this is the interesting conversation. How do you feel about the Switch's future right now?
Oh man. Like I feel really good about it for like the next year or two. And then I don't know.
Even the next year or two.
Which is weird. Yeah. Like I feel really good about it for the next year or two because I really feel like Yoshi's gonna sell a ton, Kirby's gonna sell a ton, this new Mario Tennis is gonna sell a ton. Eventually there will be Metroid.
And Pokemon is also coming to it as well.
And that's Pokemon, which will keep that
thing.
Yeah, I mean that'll keep the system going for another couple of years. But as we get closer, you know, because you're looking 2 years down the road from now, we are probably talking about PlayStation 5 at that point. There may come a point where like you're looking at another huge a huge jump like forward in terms of whatever the fuck Sony is going to come up with and whatever the Xbox One 2 whatever the hell it's going to be called,
the Xbox Z,
the Xbox Z 7 fucking whatever it is. And there's certainly the possibility that they're going to copy some sort of aspect of the Switch, or they might push harder for VR. I mean, like 2 years from now, it could just be a completely different landscape. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we could end up back in a like, well, I mean, like it's cool. I can take it with me to the movies and annoy all the other people at the theater, but like. You know,
I don't understand you.
Can I play this thing over here? Yeah, I don't know. It's in a weird spot because it did come out so far into the current generation.
Yeah, it is. It's weird that it came out when it came out because we were talking about earlier, like don't release in March, and I guess we didn't really refute that point. Like, nah, come out in March. That was a really good idea. Like, that worked out pretty well for you. But it is weird that it's mid-generation for the other guys, but it's their own thing. And
it is their own thing, and like I think Labo is going to be really cool. It also, like we talked about it when Labo was first announced, like we think it's going to be really cool. We have kids that are entranced by the idea of it. But that also looks like, and I'm not saying it's going to be, but it also looks like a gigantic flop waiting to happen.
Could
it, you
be.
Know, like it very much looks like that thing where in a couple of years we look back at it and go, remember that fucking cardboard thing they did? That was weird, right? You know, and like, I don't know, they're in a weird spot right now.
They are in a weird spot. I'm kind of a different mind. Like, I don't think it's really possible to look 2 or 3 years in the future because, like, I mean, just looking at the way 3DS did and the fact that it continued to sell as much as it did for so many years, even that far behind on visuals, like, I think we're at the part, we're at the point where visuals means something to fewer, having the absolute highest fidelity visuals is meaning more to fewer people. You know what I mean?
I like, disagree with that entirely.
I'm not saying that it's becoming a small thing. I'm saying that it's becoming less of a thing than it has been. And I think looking at the Switch kind of proves that because the system is selling so well and it is so far behind graphically, but like it's not bothering people as much. And I think it's because things have kind of hit this point. Like, I don't know where PlayStation goes from PS4. Like, I don't know where they go from PS4 Pro and Xbox One X. I don't know where they go from there besides just, you know, beefing up more of what they have. But I mean, like, there's just, you can tell the difference when you've got a game like the game like Doom, for example. Like, you can absolutely tell the difference between the Switch game and the PlayStation 4 game. But unless they're side by side, it's kind of hard to look at the Switch game and say, this looks like crap, because it just doesn't.
No, sure. Sure.
But and that's what I'm saying, that I think to your average person, like, there will always be the PC master race, and there's always going to be the people that are like, no, I have to have the thing with the absolute best graphics. But I don't think that is the driving force anymore. I think that crowd has shrunk.
I don't think it's the driving force. I don't think it is as important as you might believe it to be. And I'm going to base that on the fact that people are desperate for Metroid Prime in HD. And Mario Kart 8 in HD sold like gangbusters. Like, people want it to look good. And you're right, the Switch, like, if you're looking at them side by side, obviously it is going to look worse because it just does not have the power of a PS4 Pro or an Xbox One X 7 poop emoji Q, whatever it's called now. But when you take that next console generation leap to whatever it is going to be, I mean, look, if Microsoft ever gets that fucking 3D Minecraft thing they showed off working, game over, right? Like, that changes shit forever. I mean, that was on a whole other level of like immersion and just insanity. That, you know, and like if the VR stuff ever takes it, and there's a lot of ifs there, but yeah, I don't know, because I, like when you bring up the 3DS, like the 3DS was able to continue to sell so well, but that's not a system that's expected to compete on a graphical level.
And I think that's part of what the Switch has going for, is that it's not really expected to compete on that level, and it's fine because, like, all right, look at the list of games that I'm excited for that are coming out this year. Like, just the games that we know about that are coming out this year that I am interested in at least heavily considering buying, if not just flat out buying: Kirby, Mario Tennis, Runner 3, Shovel Knight King of Cards, maybe Labo, Street Fighter Collection, Mega Man Collection 1 and 2, Mega Man X Collection, Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom, Wild Guns Reloaded, Mega Man 11, Super Meat Boy Forever, the new Toe Jam and Earl, the new No More Heroes, the Port of Wolfenstein, Yoshi, Bloodstained, maybe Tropical Freeze if I can get it on sale, maybe Hyrule Warriors because it's a Zelda game and I'm a whore. I love that Diablo 1 and 2 are coming to the system, and E3 hasn't even happened yet. It's friggin' March, and these are the games that are coming out this year that I know about. But all those games that are really exciting to me, none of those, except maybe Wolfenstein, rely would benefit from having even better graphics. You know what I mean?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So I guess to the audience that the Switch speaks to, I don't think the system's power is really much of an issue. But what I do see on that list of games is not a lot of what you would consider AAA games. You know, mm-hmm. you want to strip out all the small stuff that speaks to me, that is also clearly speaking to a lot of other people, because these games are selling ridiculously well. You know, Tropical Freeze and Hyrule Warriors, I want those games to do well. I want Tropical Freeze to do well because the game's amazing and not nearly enough people played it on the Wii U. But, you know, that's still a game that came out on Wii U. You got Kirby, right. which is brand new, which is shockingly pretty. I downloaded the demo and I was really taken aback by how gorgeous that game looks, which I never thought I'd say about a Kirby game. Mario Tennis Aces, I think that's going to do very well for it. But again, that's kind of it. You know, Labo is another big first party title. But again, it's not the same mass market appeal as something like your Mario or a Zelda or even a Metroid. And now we know Metroid is coming, and we know Pokemon is coming. So there's definitely some big hitters in the pipeline, and Smash is going to come eventually. That's another big sure. hitter in the pipeline. But I'm not seeing like the rest of that third-party support, which I'm assuming is there, because mm-hmm. Nintendo did this to us last year. You know, they right. were like, here you go, here's a handful of games, enjoy, and then they just kept coming. So there's every possibility that that's still happening here, and knowing that third parties are kind of working their asses off to get in this situation, to get in on the Switch sales, because some games are having just insane success on the platform. And like, at first you could point to it and say, oh, that's because there's literally nothing else to play. But now you look at this, you know, a game like Celeste that, as far as I know, is selling hand over fist better on Switch than it is on the other platforms.
Right.
Which is insane, because Celeste is one of the best games out right now, period, bar none. I don't right. care what the graphics look like. That game's amazing, and it should be selling incredible across the board, but there are games that are just doing better on the Switch, and it's weird. It's weird to me. So I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around where the market is right now, because, you know, going back to the EA conversation, like, yeah, it needs these other big games, but it's selling right now without those big games. So does it? Because
I think at some point it will.
But that's the thing. It seems like those games are on your PS4. You know what I mean? Like
right.
they're on your other system that's built for that. This is kind of its own thing.
That might be a point. And, you know, again, like, trying to look at the future of it is kind of silly, because, you know, nobody expected the Switch to be what it is. Mm-hmm. But at some point, when you're looking at, like, well, here is the port of the PS5, Xbox, whatever game to the Switch, can it even be ported? Because it's not just a graphical thing at that point, but like Shadow of the Colossus is a perfect example. Game originally came out on PS2 and it was fucking broken. Like, just an unplayable mess of a game.
We
all pretended that it wasn't, but it was an unplayable mess
because
of a game.
Because it was such a good idea.
But it wasn't until two console generations later, because even the HD remake wasn't great. Again, we all pretended it was.
You're absolutely right, but that, I think, comes a lot down to the developer, because I think that's... Team Ico is so brilliant in so many things, but they are garbage at optimizing their stuff.
and that might be a thing too.
Another team could have made that game work on PlayStation 2 the way they wanted it to. It wouldn't have looked as nice as this PS4 game, but you mm-hmm. shouldn't need the power of a PlayStation 4 to do what they did with that. You know what I mean?
But there are games that need that. And at some point that will be an issue at some point. Now, whether or not that will matter to the majority of Switch owners is a completely different thing. You know, there will be certain games that will, like, you know, you are talking a little bit about, like, PC sort of stuff of, like, on my kid's computer that they have up in the room, they can't run Cuphead. Like, this system simply will not run that game. That will... I mean, it's just an eventuality with the pace of technology moving forward in such a manner as it is, that will eventually become a thing. I don't necessarily know that it will matter.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they will, if the system keeps selling, EA will be able to make a version of Madden that looks good enough.
Right.
But, you know, you're talking about things as they get more complex. Like right now, the big, there's this big question floating around, like, is the reason Red Dead isn't on the Switch right now because they just didn't do it in time, or is it because they literally can't? And I don't know what the answer to that is, because after playing Doom, I really don't know what this system is capable of.
Right.
Like, I just don't.
But that's an important question. You know, I don't think that is not an important question, because I don't think that there are, like, I don't think the amount of Switch owners that are just Switch owners that want to play Red Dead Redemption is necessarily small.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I would imagine, because it's a great game and people want to play great games.
And it's got that mass appeal.
Right.
I mean, I think Wolfenstein is going to be a real test of that, because, you know,
right,
Doom, while absolutely incredible, is a pretty contained game. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And Wolfenstein is a lot more, from what I've come to understand, it's a lot more in line with what current generation AAA games are.
Right.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how well that works. And I know Panic Button has been able to work some real magic. Like, Rocket League's fantastic on the Switch. I'm so happy that I have it.
Right.
But, you know, they ran into some major hurdles with Doom, and they only just recently patched them. So hopefully they've learned a lot from that, and Wolfenstein's not going to have those issues out of the gate. And if it does, it won't take them so long to fix, because, you know, like I said on our awards show, I would have given Doom the award over Mario Odyssey, because I liked that game that goddamn much, but it was broken in a couple of places, and it just didn't get patched till like 2 weeks ago,
which is crazy.
Nuts to me. It is absolutely because nuts to me.
At some point, there will come that point where you're like, all right, well, you know, the exclusives that are on Switch are fine, and they're the exclusives, and they are whatever they are. But, you know, I'm buying the new, like, whatever the new Wolfenstein is, or the new Doom. Like, I'm buying that on my PS4 or my Xbox One because it simply runs better on there. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to spend more time with this because, you know, as we're getting further along in life, the games that are getting more complex and whatnot can't run on the Switch, and Red Dead and all of these things. And then at some point, the Switch becomes that system that's over there that, oh, look, there's a Metroid, so I'm going to buy Metroid, and then I'm going to go back to my other system. Mm-hmm. Like, that's still my fear for it.
I could be
completely and totally wrong, and probably will be, because Nintendo has been nothing if not resilient, you know, and if they put a new Punch-Out on it, fuck if they put a new Pro Wrestling on it, you know, there are certain franchises that they can, I'm going to secret it into the fucking world. There are certainly franchises that they can tap to be like, no, this is where you need to play this.
But to look at the kinds of games that I'm playing so much of, and the games that I'm so excited about in the future, is they're not the complex ones. Like, I'm not really all that jazzed about the new complex games. And I think that's kind of the difference between your average Switch owner and your average PlayStation 4 owner. You know what I mean? Like, you're more into that kind of stuff.
I disagree. The game I am looking forward to the most outside of God of War is Guacamelee 2.
That's true.
And they haven't gotten back to me yet, by the way, and I'm very upset with Drinkbox Studios. I know they listen.
How very dare they?
Answer my email.
But I mean, like, I've spent so much time with Celeste and Dandara this year, and it's those games are they've got pixel graphics,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter to me. Like, I love it. It's like having a new Super Nintendo that's like super powered, which is so crazy. But that's kind of where we are, and it's games like that are kind of melting my brain. But then again, I did spend more time with Zelda than any other thing, and that is a very modern game.
Right.
So I don't know. It's very hard to predict how I feel about their future software. So I'm going to go, as it stands right now, personally, I would give their future software an A, but as if I'm looking at it from a general, how do I think they're doing as a company with future software, I'm going to go C+.
Yeah, I think I'm in that range too. I think like shaking the magic eight ball, it's like answer's unclear, try again later.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of potentially good stuff that could potentially be on the way. Like, yeah, they were talking, there's this whole rumor that Diablo 3 is coming to the platform. Like,
I don't even think that's a rumor. I think that's a definite.
It's what is it? I can't remember the freaking name. It's not Bethesda. Who makes Blizzard? They were like, no, we're not making Diablo for Switch. And then this other company is just like, yeah, they are.
No, they totally.
So like, no, it's not officially confirmed, but it's probably happening.
Right.
And like, I know there's people that are like, holy shit, portable Diablo. Holy shit, portable Dark Souls. Like, people are losing their freaking minds about that. And that's kind of cool. I'm not one of those people. So I don't know how those games are going to do. I don't even know how those kinds of games are doing on Switch right now. I don't know if...
Yeah, I mean, portable Dark Souls is an interesting one because it's like portable 4-year-old game, you know, or 3-year-old game or however yeah. fucking old it is at this point. I don't know. Like that's my fear. Cause you know, like we've said, I think at the end of all of this, like most of our show is bluster and bullshit. And at the end of it, we actually just want these companies to do well because it's better for us.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the more competition there is, the better the games are going to be, and the bigger the push for innovation and experiences and all of that stuff. And, you know, God of War on PS4 is going to set a bar that games have to then live up to. And that's a good thing, you know, and I hope that Nintendo is part of that conversation, because you're right, you can play Celeste on everything because it is a pixel graphics, but I mean, like, not that it's ever going to happen, but like if you're looking at a situation where it's like, well, I can get a PS5 and half Portal 3, or I can get a Switch and not that, your decision is made at that point. You know what I mean?
Like, it really all depends on what it is that you're after.
You know, there's a certain rather large subset of gamers that are always going to chase the newest and the biggest thing. And you know, like I said, if I'm sitting down and I'm playing God of War or I'm playing whatever on my PS4 and like I see an ad pop up for, you know, whatever the new Pixel game is. Well, I'm already here. I'm just going to buy it, you know, instead of like, oh, well, I would rather get that on this thing. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. I guess that's what it really comes down to. We don't know.
I think our 2-hour podcast has ended on a,
yeah.
And I think that's good. It's a good ending, Chris.
It is a good ending. I think all in all, it's pretty fair to say that the Switch has had a hell of a year, and it's going to be very interesting to follow where it goes from here. I know that I'm enjoying the crap out of mine, and I could not be happier. Well, I guess I could be happier, but you know, maybe they're gonna follow up Breath of the Wild with a new Majora's Mask. You know what I mean? Like that could totally happen. They did it with Ocarina of Time, and they just slapped a whole new game on that engine, and it turned out to be a lot of people's favorite game in the franchise. Not mine, but a lot of people adore Majora's Mask. I'd love them to do something absolutely crazy with that Breath of the Wild engine. Just be like, all right, here's a new Zelda, and it's totally freaking different. Enjoy. So, who knows? This stuff could all be coming. Or nothing could be coming. Maybe they blew their load, and that's it. This is all they have left. I don't know.
All they had. Fuck, why did we put out that Metroid Prime 4 teaser? We don't even have a thing. Samus is a dude now. Like, oh fuck, no. What a terrible idea. Shit. Link's a girl in the new one though, so that's cool.
Fuck. Federation Force 2. Yes. Alright, that's our show. Join us next week when we'll be catching up on what we've been playing, and we have been playing a lot. I actually have a game I really want to talk to you, Dan, about that I've been playing. So once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade, K-R-I-S. And Dan, you are available at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher. Or if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for popping on the show earlier and making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for more fresh original content. And that's it, everybody. That's all I have. It's late. I'm ready to go to bed. Dan is a butt. Keep playing games.